Charles, why don't you introduce yourself to our viewers?
Hi, I'm Charles Teague. I'm the dev lead for Windows Live Writer, and so I'm responsible for basically building Windows Live Writer, the product.
Okay, so Windows Live Writer, tell us a little bit, what is it?
Windows Live Writer is a desktop application for blogging. And so today, before Windows Live Writer, if you were actually going to publish a blog post, you'd navigate to your web form and you type in your small web box, your little text box, and then you press publish, and that's how you publish a blog post. With Windows Live Writer, you can just launch a desktop application, say new post, and you actually have a full what you see is what you get editing experience. You can put images in, videos, or other kinds of content in. You press publish, and your post is published.
And it's a client app. I can probably even write my posts offline.
You can write your posts offline as well.
That's awesome. Yeah. Spend a lot of time on planes.
Yeah, exactly.
So why don't you, can you show us a little bit, like just show us Live Writer and
sure.
Show some of the things it can do?
Absolutely. So this is Windows Live Writer, and so you can see it's a pretty standard-looking desktop application. And it, you might even might be very familiar-looking to you if you're familiar with things like Microsoft Word or even email clients. It really looks a lot like that. But right away, you can see some really important differences. And so one of the most important differences is you can see that the editing surface, instead of just being a plain white surface, is actually brown and colorful. And that's because the blog that I publish to looks like this. And so if I open a post that I've been working on, and I can take a look at it, and I can see, wow, okay, this is looking pretty good. I can even do things like preview it and say, well, this is exactly what it's going to look like when I publish it. I don't have to publish it at all to get that preview.
So that's the style that you have applied to your blog?
Exactly. It automatically detects the style that you have applied to your weblog. Now, I can also do some really great things, like if I wanted to put a photo in. Of course, it's really, really easy to take a photo right from my desktop, put it right in line, and I can get it looking just exactly how I would like it and apply effects to it and resize it and position it. And so again, I've got this experience where authoring is just really, really straightforward and obvious. It's sort of just the way you would expect it to work.
So let's talk for a moment about a couple of things here. For example, you mentioned that. Now, what blog servers can I post to?
Windows Live Writer, we like to say you can publish to any blog provider in the world. And so we use all the different standard APIs. We support Atom, MetaWeblog, WordPress, MovableType, Blogger APIs, as well as even a couple custom implementations of those. And so we think you should be able to use Writer with just about any weblog you can think of.
Okay, and of course I can use it with Windows Live Spaces,
and of course you can use it with Windows Live Spaces.
Okay, and so for example, when you were inserting photos up there, where do those photos live? Do I copy them from my desktop and they magically go up to the sky? Do I pull in links? What kind of options do I have?
For the most part, it's actually all pretty magic, and so most blog providers these days will take those images for you, and so we know how to send the images right up to your blog provider. There are times when that's not possible, and so we let you configure things like FTP.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're running, you know, if you have access to an FTP server, we can also publish the photos there.
Okay.
But for the most part, it's just magic.
Just magic. What about configuration? Is that magic? How hard is it to set up?
Configuration is also magic, believe it or not.
Okay.
And so if you're running a Windows Live Space, all you need is your username and password, and we know how to do the rest. If you're running a blog on just about any other provider, if you give us your username, your password, and your homepage URL, we can pretty much take it from there. And that means we can discover what kind of blog you're running. We can, you know, get ourselves configured to publish to it. We can detect the styles. We can detect what encoding you're using. We can even detect what kinds of capabilities your blog has and adjust our UI automatically to expose only the features that apply to you.
Okay, so that's great from Windows Live Writer from an end-user perspective for writing blogs. Now, what about for a developer? As a developer, what kinds of things can I do to extend Windows Live Writer?
So starting with 1.0, we were really, really focused on making sure Windows Live Writer was a good platform for developers because we knew we would never have enough time to implement all the features that people needed. And so we released the Windows Live Writer SDK. And the Windows Live Writer SDK lets developers really extend Writer in three different ways. And so first, you can write what's called a plugin. And there's really a couple kinds of plugins that we'll talk about, a content source plugin or a smart content source plugin. And these basically let you extend the insert experience inside Windows Live Writer. And so if you wanted to insert an emoticon, you could write a plugin that basically exposes a list of emoticons, puts a dialog up for users, let them pick, and then puts an emoticon right in the post. A second kind of plugin you can write is a plugin for launching Writer, a blog this plugin is what we call it. And so this would be useful, for example, if you wanted to extend RSS Bandit or your favorite feed reader with the ability to select an item and press blog this and then have Writer come up with the content pre-populated. And then third would be there's an API we call the Weblog Provider Customization API. And this is basically an API targeted at actual blog providers, the hosts themselves. Mm-hmm. And this allows them to actually customize portions of Windows Live Writer's UI to adapt it to the specific service that they're running.
Can they add new capabilities in there, or new feature, new menu items, or things?
They can
like
actually do a couple things. And so the first and sort of most basic thing they can do is they can notify us of their capabilities. And mm-hmm. So for example, if they support adding categories, they can tell us that, and our UI will automatically let users add categories or hierarchical categories or page support mm-hmm. or whatever the variability is they have, just their raw capabilities. But in addition, it also gives them access to a panel in our sidebar, and it lets them control images that appear there, text that appears there, as well as place buttons, and even provide full inline browsable UI. And so we actually give them quite a capability to extend our sidebar and really build an experience that brings some of their dashboard or their configuration or management experience right into Windows Live Writer.
And how hard is it to do that type of extensibility? I mean, is it, you have to write some code? How do you deploy it?
So for the provider, sort of depends on each SDK. For the provider API, which is what we were just talking about, that's really just an XML file that they drop on their server. And then you basically point us at a bunch of URLs. And so you say, here's a button, here's an image that we want to appear on this button, here's the URL we want to navigate to when you hit this button. Or you might say, we want that button to be a drop-down, and here's the URL you should render when that was dropped down. And so in general, that extensibility is really, really straightforward for providers.
It sounds like it's very much a data-driven.
Very data-driven, exactly. Very data-driven.
So no code, just provide the data.
Exactly.
Now, you talked about a couple of other types of plug-in models or extensibility models. The Blogit, or what was that called?
Blogdisk. Yeah, the Blogdisk. This is actually a COM API mm-hmm. That you can use to just invoke Writer. And so there's really a very simple set of things you can do. I think you can launch our options panel, as well as you can launch Writer, and then you can pass us things like a list of images, a specific image, some HTML, a link, or a variety of different data types, and we'll just pre-populate Writer with that data for the user.
And so does that just basically launch and initialize, or is there some sort of interaction or dialogue that can occur between those two?
It's pretty much it simply launches Writer, and there's really no interactivity at all. And so it's a pretty simple one-way kind of conversation.
Is it something I could do with like a shell execute? Command line type of launching, or do I need to go through that COM API?
Right now, the only thing we have documented is the COM API.
Okay, yeah, let's leave it as our publicly supported way to do that is through the COM API.
That's right.
Now, let's talk about the content source providers or content providers?
Yeah, and so this basically goes back to what we call our plugin SDK, and this is really the sort of the most commonly used and also, I think, the most powerful API that we have in Writer. And this lets you extend Windows Live Writer itself. And so maybe I can actually show you a couple of these plugins
okay, sure.
and what they can do. And so the first plugin I want to show you is one of the first ones I always install, because Windows Live Writer doesn't support emoticons, and I'm an expressive guy, and so I want to use emoticons. So the first thing I do is I go get the plugin Insert a Spaces Emoticon, and you can see I just click this link on the sidebar, or I might also just use the Insert menu and say Insert a Spaces Emoticon, and it gives me a nice list of all the different emoticons that Spaces supports, and I can pick the one that makes sense, and it puts the emoticon right in my post.
Mm-hmm.
A more advanced one that I've really grown fond of sort of takes some of the image stuff that I just showed you and makes it even better. And so this lets me pick a picture that I would like to upload, and then it gives me some really awesome effects around how that photo looks. And so it lets me sort of create a Polaroid effect and tilt the photo and rotate it and skew it. And so I can create really visually interesting looking posts with this plugin.
And what's that one called?
This one is called the Polaroid Image plugin.
So and is that something that I can get up on gallery.live.com or where?
Exactly. You can get that on gallery.live.com, actually both of these plugins. And in general, most plugins that you can find for Writer are up on gallery.live.com.
Okay.
So I've downloaded all these from there.
I'm definitely going to go get that Polaroid.
Yeah, the Polaroid one is really awesome.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the extensibility model for this plugin SDK. Is this also a COM-based? Do we have to implement a COM interface? What's involved here?
So this SDK and this API is really just a simple managed API. And so writing these is really as simple as firing up Visual Studio, adding a reference to a DLL, and starting coding in C#.
So it's just managed code.
Just managed code all the way.
No COM interop under the
covers.
No
COM interop.
No,
there's nothing fancy going on under the covers. It's simple managed code all the way. And in fact, a Windows Live Writer is almost entirely a managed application.
So have you found, like, what version of the framework is this running on?
Today, the version that we have shipping today actually supports .NET 1.1 or .NET 2.0, and we automatically bind up to the latest version.
Oh, that's great. So we have all this, the new versions all.
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
it turns out most plugin authors write for .NET 2.0, and of course, one of the problems we run into with that is we might be running on .NET 1.0, and you might download a plugin that requires .NET 2.0, and of course, we've done a lot of work to make sure that the user has a really good experience when that happens. And so they get a message that tells them, well, this plugin requires .NET 2.0, here's how you go get that, and we help them get that problem solved.
But the key thing here is that you guys aren't locking to a specific version. It's basically you'll load the latest version of the framework that's on the machine.
The latest up through 2.0, that's right. Exactly.
Up through 2.0.
Up through 2.0,
okay.
Exactly.
Great, okay, cool. Now, let's go back to, you know, building a plugin. How easy is it? Can we do a Hello World plugin or something?
Yeah, we definitely can do a Hello World plugin. It's really, really straightforward. So I've got Visual Studio started, and I made a class library project called Hello World Plugin. And the only things that I've done that's at all not just your standard, you know, out-of-the-box configuration is I went ahead and extended and added a post-build event that's just going to copy my class library into the Windows Live Writer plugins directory. And so it's going to copy it actually into Windows Live /writer/plugins and then /hello-world-plugin.dll. This is basically so when I build, it's going to automatically deploy the plugin for me.
So it's basically X-copy deployment, if you will.
It's X-copy deployment, exactly. So I've made that configuration change. And then other than that, this is a completely stock class library. And the first thing I'm going to do is I want to add a reference to our API DLL. So I just have to navigate to Program Files, Windows Live, Writer, and then look right in here, and I find an assembly called windowsliverider.api.dll. And this basically this is our stable API. It's got a stable version, and so you can safely reference this. And then from here now, I've got a whole bunch of capabilities at my disposal in that API. The most basic kind of plugin that I can write is called a content source plugin. And what a content source plugin does is it basically just puts some HTML right in the post. It's not two-way, it's just one-way. I interact with the plugin briefly, it puts some HTML in the post, and that's it.
Okay.
So the insert emoticon plugin is actually a content source plugin. And so to implement one of these, I just subclass content source. Subclass content source. And then I'm going to override create content. And so you can see I have a whole bunch of different things I can override. So I'm going to start by overriding create content. And then there's a couple things I can do with create content. And so create content gives me an iWin32 window. So if I need to show UI, like a modal dialog, I've got a window that I can be modal to.
Okay.
And then it also gives me a reference to the returned content. So it gives me a string that's going to be the content that's inserted into the post after this method is executed. And so the simplest thing I could do is simply say, I'm going to change the content. I'm going to say the content is hello world. And then I'm going to return a dialog result that says everything is okay. And there's a really basic implementation of create content. Obviously, you could imagine it could do all kinds of things. It could show a modal dialog that browses for a file or that asks a user a question or gathers some data and then somehow use that to form a bunch of HTML, and that's, in fact, what most of them do.
So that's that string, that's the output, if you will. That should be some sort of well-formed HTML?
Yeah, exactly. So in general, you'd like that to be well-formed HTML or HTML of some kind.
Okay.
So for my, in my case, you know, I'm just throwing in a string, but ideally you'd get some HTML in
there. Okay.
So the one last thing I need to do is I actually need to just use some attributes to adorn this class, just to let Writer know this is a plugin class that should be loaded, and give Writer a little bit more information about it. And so first thing is I'm going to add a Writer plugin attribute, and this is actually just going to give us a unique identifier for it, a GUID, a name for it, a URL, as well as a description. And then the other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to add an attribute that indicates this is an insertable content source. And that's basically telling Writer this thing should show up in the insert menu in the sidebar. It should show up on the insert menu. And it's also giving you a chance to customize what the text should be when it shows up.
Mm-hmm.
So I add those two adornments. Actually, I close Writer since it's... and then I do a quick build. And the build worked. So that file should be deployed now. And when I launch Writer now, what we should see is we should see insert hello world. So it showed up on the menu. And in fact, if I just put the cursor in the body and say insert hello world, there's the text.
There we go. Then we have a very easy to write hello world content content source.
Yeah, content source plugin. Pretty straightforward. And like I said, you know, it's easy to imagine doing all kinds of great things. Another thing, you know, another way to obviously show some of the capabilities here would be to just say, let's show a message box before we put this content in. And then the same thing, we launch Writer. And now you can see their dialogue just came up asking a question, and hello world.
What would hello world be without having a message box in there, right?
That's right. I had to get that in there.
Okay. That's interesting. So this is the type of thing, what are some of your, so you showed us the emoticon plugin, you showed us the
Polaroid picture, yes.
Polaroid picture.
Yes.
And so now, you mentioned something also about a smart content provider?
Yeah, and so what I just showed you is the content source plugin. So like I said, it's really a very one-way kind of plugin. You sort of implement this method, you get to put some HTML in the post, but after that, Writer takes care of the HTML, and so okay. It's not round-trippable. If you implement Smart Content Plugin, you basically just need to subclass Smart Content Source instead of Content Source, you actually end up with a full round-trippable experience. And so the Polaroid plugin, you'll notice when I insert the image, I can actually click on the image again, and a sidebar is loaded that's specific to the Polaroid plugin. And so it gives me options for things like rotating it or putting a caption on it. And so that Smart Content object is really sort of an object on the surface of our editor. And you're notified anytime the user wants to edit it, and you're given a chance to control that experience and regenerate the HTML. And so Smart Content Source really lets you, not just dump some HTML into Writer, but really create a full-featured experience around Writer. And so most of the features you see in Writer, inserting a map, inserting a video, inserting tags even, these are really implemented on top of our Smart Content API. And so the full editing and the really rich experience you have around those are the kinds of things plugin developers can do today.
So I guess the key word there you mentioned was round-trippable.
Exactly.
That wanting to be able to, I mean, if you have something like our wonderful Hello World plugin, if you would, once you've inserted that text into the document, you lose the notion of what that object is.
Exactly.
So if you click, okay. So
exactly.
The Smart Content plugin, you'd be able to click on it, set attributes, change things, and it's still there as an entity or something.
Exactly. And in fact, I can even give you a really quick illustration
yeah.
if you'd
sure.
like. So here's the Hello World. You can see that it got inserted, and it's just... it's text. You know, I can treat it just like anything else. I can delete it. And really, your plugin is really indifferent. In the case of inserting the Polaroid picture, though, once I've inserted it, here it is. But when I click on it, you can see there's a completely custom sidebar here, and it exposes a whole bunch of different properties that let me change all the different things I'd like to change about it. And so as a plugin developer, you know, the Polaroid image plugin gets to provide that sidebar, gets to provide that user interface, gets to be notified when the item is selected and when we need new HTML from them as well.
Okay, so that's completely provided by the plugin writer.
Exactly.
Okay. And so any tips on writing plugin, those smart plugins? I mean, where would you, is it a complicated process?
I think overall, we've definitely have worked hard to make it as not complicated as possible, as obvious as possible. Of course, there'll be some nooks and crannies where there's some complexity, but usually that's because we're trying to put some power there as well. And so you may find some of those things. We know there's some things that we want to improve in the future, so we definitely have been listening to the plugin authors and what they've been going through. And so we'll plan on continuing to make improvements to plugin authoring. But you know, I think the best tip that I have out there is, you know, go to gallery.live.com and look at some of the authors who have written a lot of plugins.
Yeah.
Scott Lovegrove is one of those guys.
Liveside.net.
Yeah, and drop him a note. He actually will probably have about 10 times as many tips as I could possibly give you.
So you have an active community of folks building plugins.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. And so the plugins, you know, there's probably 60 or 65 plugins on gallery.live.com, and they range from some of the most esoteric things you could ever imagine to some of the most obvious things you could imagine. Integration with Flickr, mm-hmm. publishing videos with YouTube, or some of the really obvious things that
like
we know people
weather,
want to do.
Inserting weather or something.
Inserting
like
weather, exactly. Weather. Yeah, integration with Dig. And so... okay. Just about anything you can think of, there's probably a plugin already out there. And if you can't think of it, it's not that hard to write the plugin yourself.
I'll have to go write one.
Yeah.
So just to wrap, before we wrap up here, I just want to just chat with you a little bit. And so I wanted to hear a little bit, you know, how you got here. What did you do before coming to Microsoft?
I joined Microsoft, actually, I'm coming up on exactly 2 years and just maybe 2 weeks or so, it'll be 2 years at Microsoft. And I actually joined via an acquisition. And so I was part of a startup called OnFolio that was based in Cambridge, Massachusetts, that we started back in 2002. And in 2006, Microsoft acquired them. And so as a part of that acquisition, we all moved out to Redmond. And we part of what we were doing at the time at OnFolio was actually working on early prototypes of Writer. And so we got to keep working on it here at Microsoft and actually got to ship it as a part of Windows Live Suite in November.
Oh, that's great. So good 2 years, or has it been worth it?
Yeah, great 2 years. Okay. Great 2 years, you know. And it's an amazing experience seeing the power that Microsoft has to distribute software for you coming from a startup. Uh-huh. And so when you get to distribute software from Microsoft, a lot of people take notice very, very quickly.
Well, that's great. I personally love Live Writer. It's we use that to blog. It's a wonderful tool, and so hopefully we have a lot to expect and to look forward to in Live Writer in the future.
Well, we're doing our best to continue to impress people, and so we're working on our next release already, and we really hope it's going to be impactful and exciting for everyone.
Cool. So for our developers out there, where are the best places for them to go to get started with Live Writer?
You can just download Live Writer at get.live.com. That's
okay.
A no-brainer. You can go to gallery.live.com, and that's where you'll find a bunch of plugins that you can use to learn from. You can go to dev.live.com, I think that's right, and that is actually, you can find links to our SDK and all the documentation on MSDN. And then, of course, you can even go to places like CodePlex, and you'll find there's a bunch of plugins already sitting on CodePlex that even have the source code available for you to take a look at.
Okay, so it sounds like a lot of sources out there, a lot of information.
Absolutely.
Well, Charles, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us around Live Writer, and we're really looking forward to see new versions as they get released.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.